on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Friday, August 7th, and this is InvestTalk. I appreciate being with me, listening to me on the radio and the podcast subscribers and those guys listening to us, guys and gals listening to us live streaming broadcast. I appreciate that. You can do that at InvestTalk.com, by the way. So we thank you for joining, and I really encourage you to join in if you can. You can call our listener line at 888-99-CHART. You can call anytime you want. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. Now, I realize that everyone comes at investing from their own perspective, their own level of experience. And I try to make the topic of managing money accessible to everyone who has an interest. And InvestTalk isn't just about investing, I hope. All money matters are really linked together. All your money, your house, you know, how much mortgage you're paying, how much debt you're in, your credit cards, 401ks, IRAs, savings account, but, you know, refinancing issues, should you have a trust, should you, all those things, it's all about, all that matters and if impacts your money and how you save and invest and all those things. So we can help you. I try to help you with many of those things. I'm not an expert on everything. As you know, if anybody who's listened to the show for any length of time, you know I can't answer all the questions. I will tell you if I don't know. And I also will tell you that if I can get the information, I will do so. And I do have access to experts in the various fields. So I'm hoping that we can help you. One topic that our listeners talk about a lot is their 401k. You may have a 457 or 403b. You know, there's different numbers, but most people are familiar with 401k. That's where private employers offering retirement accounts to their employees. Most people have that work. If you currently participate in a 401k or other retirement plan, it may be prudent to take a look at your allocations, maybe make some changes. We're, a little bit past the half-year mark. I think you should look at them. It's always wise to look at them every so often. Decide whether, you are in balance, you have what you want, those kinds of things. So please do so. This is the time to do that. And if you're older, like me, usually as you get older, you get a little bit risk adverse. You don't really want to take as much risk as you did when you were younger. So if you're 60, and older, and you're looking, down the road not too far at retirement, maybe it's time to think about getting a little bit more, conservative. Now, don't mistake the word conservative with, go ahead and buy some bond funds. It's going to be one of my talking points, high-yield bonds today. And I want to give you some heads up on these bonds. And even in our main talking point today, we're talking about bonds. So, there's other ways to be conservative, okay? So you got to take a look at your assets and allocate them, the way that matches what you want. Most of the time, it's perfectly fine for individuals to make very few changes in their retirement plan, very few changes. But a prudent investor always reviews their holdings to see if they align with their overall strategy. So don't ignore it. Now, do you have questions on your 401k or number is 888-99-CHART? I hope you could use it. Give me a call right now. So let's take this question from our 24-hour listen line.
Hi, this is Jack from Chicago. I have a question about Morningstar. They grade the stocks like 1 star, 5 stars, and they change the rating almost every day. Do you see anything wrong by following their recommendations and just buying what they rate as 5 stars and sell it when it goes down, something like that? I mean, from your experience with them, do you find their way working?
It doesn't work as far as trying to time the market or time any investments. Think about it this way. When Morningstar rates a mutual fund 1 to 5, or if you're buying their stock service, well, let's just talk about the 1 star to 5 star. 1 star is bad, not very good, not, you know, below average of their peer group and all those things. 5 star is always at the top. Remember, they're looking back. They're looking back and rating these mutual funds and how they're doing. And for the funds to get a 5 star, and Morningstar is very good at rating. I don't want to badmouth them about this. But I have found that buying 5 stars and when they go down to 3 stars selling them, you're going to lose money. Because if they're 5 star, everybody already bought them. Everybody likes 5 stars. They already bought them. By the time it moves down to a 3 star, if that happens, it's already fallen so far that you bought it at 5, it's buying high and selling low. Now, that's not entirely true because the star system is not based on price of the mutual funds. I will tell you this. I like buying 3 stars funds that are, you know, pretty good, and they have been moving up in the star system at Morningstar. I feel better with those funds. Buy 3 star with the manager in the top 25 percentile of his peer groups, and on and on. There's different things to look at, you know, betas and alphas and all those things, R squares. There's all those things to look at. So no, it's not a good idea just to buy based on the star system. It's not, in my opinion, a good idea. Hope that answers your question. The Fed kept the engine from stalling, getting to a speed that is harder and harder to maintain in our economic growth. Well, the Federal Reserve did that by lowering interest rates to zero and the government spending billions of dollars with the QE, and then on the fiscal side, they went into huge debt just to get the economy to where it is today. So will this be, what's going to be the next economic crisis out there? Okay, so we had the dot-com crisis, right? We had the housing bubble and the financial crisis kind of tied in together. What's the next one down the road? We're going to talk about that. What might be the next one down the road. It's going to be one of our talking points. I also want to talk about Apple. This is not going to be a recommendation about Apple, but I want to talk about the numbers and why is it getting beat up so much. Well, let's look at Apple more cold-heartedly and see if we can't come up with something. I want to talk about the jobs report today, and in particular, the 38-year low participation rate by the labor pool. 38-year low labor participation rate. 38-year low. Now, don't think that this is just a result of this recession. The recession did exacerbate the speed of the downfall of this rate, but it was already falling back, starting back in 2000. And then the recession made it fall faster, and it hasn't recovered. So I want to talk about that. Excuse me, my cough there. And finally, high-yield bonds. I want to talk about high-yield bonds. It's going to be a bond day. I'm talking about bonds in two sections, basically. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. What happened in the market today? Well, the Dow ended up down 46, the NASDAQ down 13, the S&P down 6, and if you'll notice that the market is on another downtrend. Do you know that I mentioned yesterday that the market has been within a 3% range of it's either been up 3% or down 3% since the beginning of the year. And after end of each quarter, first quarter and second quarter, it was virtually flat at each end of each quarter. So now we had the market fell down again today. We've had, 5 out of the last 6 days down, or maybe 7. What can I tell you? There's not much to tell you. The market is just not feeling very well. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't like what's going on, what it sees. Investors and traders are not comfortable, and so they're not inclined to be buyers of stocks. I see a lot of people on the sidelines, a lot of money on the sidelines. A reminder to employers who may be listening, we are talking about 401ks. They are a lot, it's a big burden for employers, by the way. It's a hassle in many ways and becoming more and more of a hassle because they keep imposing more and more rules on employers. Well, KPP Financial's 401k solution can help you with that. It is a sophisticated 401k advisement that meets your fiduciary responsibilities, empowers your employees, you know, because you as an employer, you may not know it, but you're going to have more and more fiduciary responsibility for your employees' 401k. You think you're just going to offer a 401k and say, here you go, do what you want. You can't do that anymore. Laws are changing. You can do it, but you open up yourself to litigation from your employees. There's ways to get around that, and by offering them a money manager such as our firm. You don't, even if you don't use our firm, you offer them better choices, offer them a variety, and then protect yourself with certain documents. Anyways, think about it, don't you employers out there. Think about what that 401k, it's not as simple as it used to be. You can find out more about it by going to investtalk.com or give me a call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, that's our number. Love to talk to you. 888-99-CHART, that's our number. You can call and ask any financial question you want. Will this be the next economic crisis that we're going to have? And we're going to be talking about the bond market. Federal Reserve lowered interest rates, right? Lowered interest rates to zero, the Fed fund rate to practically zero. And this caused bonds, long-term treasuries to go down, pay about 2.2% now, 10-year bond treasury paying 2.2. And what happened is people couldn't get returns, right? The people that had CDs come in due that were getting 4% and 5% and 6%, now would get a CD for a year or two being 1%. So what's happened is people, institutions around the world pushed into U.S. treasuries. So U.S. treasuries rates fell and down to 2.2 for a 10-year bond. So what happened? Okay, so now we have this, we're sitting on this situation in which the Fed Reserve now wants to start raising rates because they're at zero. They put themselves in a box. It's at zero, and they want to raise it so they can fight the next recession. This is the problem. You remember the old Dodd-Frank law that they passed? What normally happens, bond funds got very, very popular because they're safe and they can get treasury bonds in there, long-term bonds, you can get a better yield than at the bank and CDs. So all these bond funds got huge masses of money and they put them in treasuries. Now, if the Fed fund rates goes back up, and the bond yields go to normalized yields, which is 4% or 5%. You holding on a 10-year or longer bond, your value is going to plummet. What are you going to do? You're losing money in these bond funds. You're probably going to cash them in. Then what happens in that scenario? I'm going to pick this up after the break. This is a little bit more complex, so I want to pick it up. Now, value your input. What money issue is important to you right now? What is it? We're here to talk about it if you have one. I'd also like to hear about your current retirement portfolio or what you're doing. That'd be interesting. We can talk more about the mix, or we can talk about anything you want. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. And now everyday investors can have access to investments that were only available to the wealthy in the past. But are you ready for the new higher risk ETFs? That's our talking point for Monday's podcast. We hope you'll join us then.
So I'm talking about where the next possible crisis might come from. And I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you for sure. But my job is to watch out for things that might cause problems might cause my clients to lose money and avoid them. So if the federal funds rate down to zero, everybody rushed into treasuries because they can't get any return on CDs the last few years. Treasuries are 10-year treasuries paying 2.2, 30-year paying, what, 2.9 or so, whatever it is, 3%. Everybody's in there. Now, what happens if interest rates start to normalize? If the Fed funds rate, if the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates, they said so. So the long-term average for a 10-year bond is like 4%, 5% for a 30-year bond. So let's say it only goes to, you know, 3.5%. Let's say it doesn't even go to 4%. You're still holding these bond funds. You're still going to get the yield, whatever that might be, 2%, whatever. But when you're holding on to that bond fund and it starts to go down in value, that net asset value, that fund goes from $10 a share to $7 a share, you're going to lose 30% if that happens. And that's about what it will be if it moves back to even normalish rates. The crisis is, are you going to sit and hold on to that? All those people, institutions, individuals that own bond funds, are you going to just sit there when you can sell it and get a higher yield today on a bond, the bond that you can actually buy today, get a much higher yield than in the funds that you're sitting in? Or if they go back to the, if it goes back to normal rates, you can go back and buy a CD and get a better return and have much safer predictability. What happens when everybody wants to sell these things? Who's going to be the buyer? Normally, the buyer would be large banks and institutions. But today, with the Dodd-Frank Act in place, they are not free to do that as much. So what's going to happen then? Won't that accelerate the fall in price because there's not enough buyers out there? Isn't that going to be a big problem if that happens? Do I know what will happen? I don't know that. I do know that there will be a lot of pressure. If interest rates start to rise, there's going to be a lot of pressure on those bond funds. Remember, if you ask for your money at a mutual fund, they're going to sell bond funds to give you your money back. They're going to sell them. Who are they going to sell them to? Everybody does it all at one time. There's no buyers. The prices have to collapse. Something to think about. Let's talk to Robert in Pleasanton. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Thanks for the call. I'm doing good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, I've been kind of following this saga of lumber liquidators and seeing that stock just basically fall off a cliff. And I'm just wondering at some point if there might be some value there that with this stock going so far down, is it time to buy it?
I can't, Robert, I can't see him going out of business. I don't think that's in the cards necessarily. They don't have any debt. I don't think it's going out of business. For everybody else who doesn't know what's happening, Lumber Liquidators Holdings operates 354 flooring stores in 46 states and in Ontario, Canada. The problem is they contracted out their flooring for Chinese manufacturers. This is the problem with the Chinese, everybody. If you don't know now, by now, you live in a cave. They always have, every so often, a blow up in their operations out there because they cut corners and they don't have the safety features that we do. So what happened is the flooring had too much of some kind of glue that's poisonous or whatever. I don't remember exactly, Robert. Maybe you know better than I do. And what happened is it crushed the stock of Lumber Liquidators. It really wasn't them, but then of course everybody accused them, well, you should have been watching them closer or whatever. Okay, maybe. But the stock price got crushed, their sales fell hard, but the sales still are like $250 million. It was $266 million per quarter. Now it's $247 per quarter. It's not like, you know, they're not having sales, Robert. So, yeah, there's going to be a place where it values selling for $12.06, but they're going to lose 79 cents a share this year because of this problem and then finally make 55 cents next year. So from that point, it's not a great bargain in price. It looks like it because it's going to make $12 because it's a $12 stock, and it used to be $119 stock, $110 stock. Well, it's still not a great bargain. That's when the days they were making $2 and $3 a share. Now they're only going to make 55 cents a share. So I think you just got to be patient. There will be a point, Robert, where you might want to pick it up. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Brandon in Mill Valley. How you doing, Brandon?
We're good.
You want to talk about...
Asking about...
Go ahead.
Well, TK LNG Partners, it's in a downtrend, and I just wondered what your thoughts were on the company.
Okay.
You
own some of it? Okay, I'm going to have to pick it up after the break. I only got about 30 seconds, and I'm sorry. If you want to hold on, that's great. If not, we'll talk about it after the break here. And it's a hard break. Coming up on InvestTalk 101, workers with brokers and investment advisors. That's the next half hour. We're here for you for straight talk about your money. Anything investing, we'll talk about 888-99-CHART.
Are there special rules when you're investing in growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now at 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
Chart, everybody. A caller called by TGP is TK LNG Partners Limited. It provides international marine transportation services for LNG, liquefied natural gas is what that stands for, and crude oil with 55 vessel fleet. Okay, a fleet of vessels, so transports liquefied natural gas and oil. They pay a 10.5% dividend. That's what's really attractive about it. They're going to make $2.16 this year after $2.33 last year per share. Next year is $2.18, so it's actually going to go down, up a little bit. It's a $26.76 stock. Had a really good day, almost up 10% today. But it's been falling since the beginning of the year. Falling because of related to commodities. Everybody knows what's happened to them, right? That's why it's been falling. Okay, so is it a good buy now? Well, one of the concerns I have, there's a couple little red flags. The company looks pretty decent, I'll say that. But last year in September, they issued more shares. The year before in September, they issued more shares. And after they issued the shares in both years, they increased their dividends. That's a little red flag. Why are you issuing more shares, diluting the per share total, and then increasing your dividend? You're paying me back my own money. I don't like that. Also, a little red flag is sales have been flat to shrinking the last four quarters. And again, sales may be fine if it's the price of what they're transporting, driving down their price of what they're charging. So, but it is near its five-year low PE range. Has decent return on equity of 12%. Not great. Good cash flow. I don't care for the debt about 119%. This stock would have to be very carefully scrutinized before I could recommend it. I always worry about that dividend of being 10%. It's too high in this environment. It just worries me. But stock looks pretty decent. Let's talk to Jim in Oakland. How you doing, Jim? Want to talk about bonds?
Very well. How are you? Yeah, I have a question on a Cliff Natural Resources bond. It matures January of 2018 and has a stepped-up yield that goes up to 5.95, and it's selling for around 54. I don't know if this is going to be another bankrupt company, or do you think it's safe to buy it?
Well, Cliff Resources, you have to analyze the underlying company to see if they have staying power. If they do, then that's a bond to hold to maturity because you're going to go back to par. But you're telling me, is it selling 55 on a par base of 100? So it's like almost 45% discount?
Right. And it has a stepped-up yield. You know, it steps up half year until it gets up to 5.95.
Okay, Cliff Natural Resources, you got to take a look at that. How much debt do they have? What's their cash flow? You know, you got to look at the underlying the issuing company And you're really, it's all about how secure they are. Are they going to survive? Because not only will you get your 5% or whatever the step-up interest rate, it's going to go back to par. Yeah,
right.
I've done this a couple of times in my life, Jim. I bought GMAC bonds during the financial crisis. And they were like 40% below par. And they were paying like 8% yield. And I analyzed to see if the GMAC would survive. And what they did is GM sold off GMAC, basically, to somebody stronger. And made a killing on those bonds. So it can be done. You need to look at Cliff Natural Resources and to say, is that company very strong? Is it strong enough? Was it 2019? Is that when you said it was come due?
2018, January 2018.
So really, you only have 3+ years. Not even that.
2.5 years.
Yeah. So I would strong.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, they produce coal and so forth. So
take a look at
the coal industry is being wiped out.
Oh, yeah. Take a look. Not here in the United States it is. Not everywhere, but here in the United States it is. I would take a look at their debt levels and see if they can handle it. You know, the debt. That I would be very careful, but investigate the company and see if they can last. You don't care if they last past 2018. You just need them to last until then, you know?
Right.
Okay. Good luck with it. I hope it works for you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
It's now time for Vest Talk 101. What to expect from a broker or a financial advisor or a registered investment advisor for that matter. I'm a registered investment advisor. I have a registered investment advisor firm. If you're busy, you know, with your job, your children, all the responsibilities you have, you can't manage your own money. And even if you can or could have the time, maybe you don't have the knowledge. But so who do you hire? You get a broker, you get an investment advisor, you can get, you know, a certified financial planner, you know, that can help you. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do. One thing I would strongly suggest whenever you look for these kind of businesses is find out how they get paid. How they get paid. They should divulge that right up front, you know, all voluntarily. But many of them don't. And then investigate what they're saying is true. For instance, you know, you could get a company or individual that tells you, well, we do service for a fee and this is our fee. But they also might get paid through the back door, 12b-1 fees if they recommend no-load mutual funds, but maybe have a 12b-1 fee that they get from the fund, you know, and then they recommend only those funds that give them 12b-1 fees. You can, you know, do they recommend funds that pay A shares, B shares, C shares? Those are all different ways they get paid. So you kind of want to, you know, do they get paid per transaction? Do they, my firm, registered, you know, Klein Pavis Pisa, we get paid as a percentage of the assets under management. And that percentage goes down the bigger the more assets under management, or the different programs you're in, some are more active than others, the fee goes down. So, which is a very common way to do it, by the way. I'm not breaking any ground here. This is just most of the way. And, you know, you really need to understand, you're going to have to pay somebody. They got to get paid. They're not going to do it for free. And I'm sure most people don't expect them to do it for free. They expect them to get paid. You just want, you know, proper bang for your buck, which I totally agree. Okay, you need bang for your buck. And sometimes you don't get paid for your buck, you know. And, you know, money managers such as I, you know, we look for long-term results. Short-term results can be pretty choppy. You just want, what you really want is someone who understands what you want and can adjust the portfolio or offer products that fit your criteria, what you want, your timeline. Maybe you just want income and you want safety. Okay. Yeah, you know, there's different products and different management styles that could meet that, okay? That's InvestTalk 101. Be careful out there. And make sure, you know, you look at your statements, by the way, every month to make sure that whoever is your investment manager is not making unauthorized transactions in your statements. That should never happen. If you have any questions about working with a financial advisor, you can just ask me. We're here right now at 888-99-CHART, or you can write me a note. click on Contact Steve or contact Justin on investtalk.com and send us an email.
There's a link to today's talking point. Just look for the Friday, August 7th heading on investtalk.com. This is Invest Talk, and your questions are always welcome at 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, Chris from Louisville. Just had a quick question about Tesla, TSLA. I know the earnings came out yesterday, and they dropped around 10 to 50%. And I want to be a part of Tesla, but wanted to get your opinion on this is a good entry point. My time horizon is 20, 30 years, so definitely have time for growth. And I know they're looking at the year 2020 to have different manufacturer, 500,000 vehicles. So a lot of the bulls are looking for, the next 4 to 5 years, but the bears are pushing the stock down now. So I want to get your opinion. It's a good entry point for someone with a long time horizon for Tesla, TSLA. Thanks, guys.
If your time horizon is 20 or 30 years, then you can go ahead and just buy it. Because, put it in a drawer and ignore it. You'll be fine if Tesla survives. Now, if you want to understand what the valuations are, because Tesla has fallen sharply in the last couple of days from like 265 to 242, okay? A good entry point would be about 190, 185 to 190, somewhere in there, because that's where it was already twice this year. So if it goes back down to there, that probably a good entry point. And I think, and I've said this before, I think Tesla's going to be a big major auto company. They look like they're doing all the right things to grow their company, I think. Now, they don't make money. They're going to lose 14 cents a share this year. Last year, 2014, they made 14 cents a share. So what's 14 cents a share worth? Is it worth $291 a share in stock price? No. But next year, they're supposed to make $2.82 a share. Okay, so if it's $2.82, is $240 too much to pay per share for the company? Well, if it was a 10 PE, that makes it 100 PE. Based on next year's earnings, $282, and it's $242. So it's like 100 PE, maybe 95 PE, okay? A normal PE for an auto company is between 7 and 15, somewhere in there. There's where you have to look at your Tesla and say, okay, is it going to maintain the sales growth, the momentum it's had? Well, last quarter, growth was 24%, sales growth, 24%. Quarter before that was 51. Quarter before that was 55. The quarter before that, 97. So now it's 24. Is it? Now, I will say this. They're coming out with a new model. If that new model is very, and this is for this average person, just a regular sedan type of car. And because the Teslas are all high end. Who knows if that sedan car is going to be successful or not? I don't know. No one knows. It's a great story, and they are going to be making money. And if you have faith in it that much for 20, 30 years, which I don't, by the way, then buy it and just forget it. Okay? I want to talk about Apple. Now, I'm not recommending Apple. Apple's been taking a big hit lately. When I say big hit, they were what, 133, 135. Today they're at 115. So what, 13% fall in price? Okay. Let's look at some of the numbers. I understand that people thinking, oh gosh, this probably has something to do. Well, I'll get into it. Their quarterly sales grew by 33%. Earnings grew by 38%. This is the most recent earnings report. Earnings per share grew 45%. Sales in China grew by 112%. Now, are they going to be able to keep that up? Probably not. Probably not. China has a lot of competition. But the company announced a guidance of $49 to $51 billion in sales for the next quarter, and that stock got hit. Now, it might be because there was a lack of transparency on the Apple Watch, and maybe they're not selling as much as that, for whatever reason. for whatever reason, if you look at Apple, look at their valuation, and there's no way you can't say that they're not cheap. PE is 13. Apple's got, so its stock closed at $115 a share. So PE is 12.7, 13. Based on 2015's earnings of $9.20 a share. Now, the company's price-earnings ratio for the S&P 500 is 17.7%. What's the growth rate of the S&P 500? Maybe 7, 8%. What's Apple's growth rate estimate? 45%. So, tell me why it fell from 135 down to 150. I can see Tesla falling. They don't have nearly the sales that Apple has. Nearly the profits. They're not even close. See, this is what I don't understand. When people call me up and says, you know, should I buy Apple? Yeah. But I'm not recommending it. I'm just telling you, based on pure valuation, it's cheap. And this has nothing to do with all the cash that they have. I'm not talking about the cash they have on hand. And one other thing about future, you know, Apple's earnings is all about phones, right? It has nothing to do with iWatch. That's a pittance. It has nothing to do with their even their computers. That's a very small piece. It's the phone. Well, you'd realize that those people who own iPhones, 27% turned their old iPhone in and bought the new iPhone 6. 27%. That means 73% still have the old iPhones. What do you think they're going to do when the new iPhone comes out for the fall? There's a huge built-in demand to upgrade to the newest phone that's going to come out. I can't see how sales are going to be hurt. I can't. Sales are only going to go up. And so therefore, you know, when you call about Apple and it's a good time to buy Apple, I think so. But I can't recommend it. I've just violated some rules by just talking about that stock, by the way. Hopefully I won't get in trouble. We've got time for your question before we're done for the day. So if you want to call, you can call anytime you want. We're live right now, but you still can call during the anytime you want. Number right now, 888-99-CHART. I'm Steve Peasley, and you're listening to Invest Talk.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Invest Talk right now. Our podcast distribution, as always, made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. You know, you can use our 24-hour listener line, but what about talking with Steve or Justin directly? If you call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays, you'll catch them live doing the podcast. Just call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on any weekday. And that number, 888-99-CHART or 888-992-4278.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Brian in Petaluma. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I was interested in your thoughts on potash. Ticker symbol is POT. I got into it a little bit, and it seems like it just kind of keeps dropping. I'm not sure what the bottom is. I'd like to get some more of it.
Yeah, it's a problem. You know, when stocks fall and they're in a downward trend, the problem is where is the bottom? No one really knows. That's why I like to wait until it hits the bottom and starts back up before I enter the stock. And if it starts back up and rolls back down and then breaks the bottom that it would just had that I just thought it was, I'd sell it out and wait till another bottom puts in. But now, is it near a bottom? Brian, I think it is. Potash Corporation, everybody, manufactured fertilizers and related industry. It's a $22 billion company. Sales have been falling pretty consistently. Earnings, you know, finally sales might be leveling off, it looks like to me. It pays a really nice dividend of 5.7, symbol POT, by the way. It's going to make $1.82 this year, but $2.03 next year. And it's a $26 company. So what's that, 13 PE or so? And the five-year average is 11 to 26, so it's coming down to its low end. Good return on equity, decent cash return, cash flow. Cash flow is like 10%. The dividend is only 5.7, so that's sustainable. Now, then it's a question of, yeah, it looks pretty good stock, Brian. I like the company. Now, where do I buy it? You know, right now it looks like it may have broken the recent bottom it put on about a week or so ago. So I'm not sure it's done falling. What I would wait, if you wanted to buy more, was that your thinking, Brian?
Yes.
I would wait till it breaks above its 20-day moving average. Right now that 20 days at 27.88. Okay? It's at the stock is at 26.72. So that's only like $1, you know, 8 cents or so. $1.15, whatever it is. I would wait till it breaks above that to consider buying it. And if it breaks above it, then you know at least it's coming back. And if it turns right back down and then breaks below the recent low, as I said, I'd be out again because there's going to be a bottom and I want to be in the stock and I don't want to be too heavy in any one stock. So you don't want to keep buying because then it's into 10%, 15%, 20% of your portfolio. You don't want to do that. So it's always tough, Brian. It's really tough. You really want to wait till it hits the bottom, then enter the stock. It should be close to the bottom. Should be.
You think it's still a pretty solid company, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think you have any problem. Very low debt. They make money. It's not that like they're not making money. It's a solid, solid company. Their need for fertilizer is not going to go away, right?
I didn't think so.
Yeah, so what you're really hoping for is Europe to come turn around and start growing a little bit to help us because, you know, we're growing. But, you know, if we can get China and Europe to turn around a little bit, then maybe you know, demand for food will go back up in all commodities, you know. But all commodities are being hit because of the slowness of world economic growth. Brian, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Take care of yourself. Okay. 38 low, you know, the jobs report came out today, and we produced, 215,000 jobs? And the stock market didn't care for that too much. I mean, why wouldn't they not like jobs growth? Well, because you only had two more monthly jobs reports before the Fed next meeting, the Federal Reserve next meeting. And this looked like a pretty decent report, so it was a decent report. Kind of tells you that the Fed might just raise rates in September, their next meeting. Now, they're going to have August to look at, too. But that's why the market probably didn't do well. It doesn't like raising rates. But let's look at the bigger picture of the employment, bigger employment picture. Unemployment claims are low, and so everything looks pretty decent. But we're at a 38-year low of labor participation rate. 38 years, 62.6% of our labor pool is working. Now, it looks like, I'll say this, it looks like it's leveling off. I'm hoping that's what it is. But that's probably one of the reasons why it doesn't feel very good, this economic recovery. We're out of time for today. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening. I hope you have a good evening, and let's meet here again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.